Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I was teaching at his table at Victorious Life Church this past week, and after I did the teaching, prayed for the food, and I went to sit down, and this lady lifts up her hand to kind of motion me over. And I thought to myself, just so you know, I thought to myself, oh, she's going to say, you know, thank you for the teaching, or I really was touched by that, or whatever. You know, the Lord spoke to me, or something encouraging. And she calls me over, and she says, sit down here. And she says, you should introduce yourself before you speak, because I don't know who you are, and some people might not know who you are. And that was it. And I was like, okay, thanks. So I don't always introduce myself, and I don't feel the need to always do it. But every now and then, if you're here and I've never met you before, and I would love to meet you. My name's Tori, and I'm one of the pastors, and would love to get to know you a little bit. And I have the privilege of opening God's Word and sharing with you this morning. So that's what we're going to do. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then he reveals to us how he did that. It says, "And the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light," and so on. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And then in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, it says, "For God, who said, let there be light, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, it is the Word of God that creates life, all of life, and sustains all of life. And it is the Word of God who took on flesh, Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life, new life, and sustains new life, eternal life. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they would know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God creates life, and God gives us, and he creates new life, eternal life. And it's by his powerful, creative word. It begins with God's word. Why do I say that? I say that because we're having a message today about another marker of a true church. We're doing this series called Becoming the Church. The church is a called out community, called out people who know God, worship God, fellowship together, and reach others with the gospel. But the community is a called out community. And we've talked about how the series is called Becoming the Church because, yes, while the church is somehow the hope of the world because we have this message, and not just the Word of God, we have the God of the Word in us, working in us, among us. And at the same time, we are very much flawed, under construction people. We're works in progress, becoming the church. And for the fall, we're talking about some of the shared identities. What are some of the shared, genuine markers of the true church, not just here, but all around the world? And we talked about a couple weeks ago that one of the markers is we belong to Jesus, and that's really good news. Praise God. The true church belongs to Jesus. And then we said last week, because we belong to him, we belong to one another. The church is a family of God. We belong to him, and we belong to one another. And today we're looking at this third marker of a genuine church, and that is that we are formed by the Word of God. So here's how we'll get after that. Here's the main idea. The God of the Word finds and forms his people by the Word of God. The God of the Word finds and forms his people. Another way to say that would be saves and shapes his people, or saves and sanctifies, he's making us more like Christ. Finds and forms his people by the Word of God. It begins, it continues, it ends with the Word of God forming us. And so here's where we'll go for the roadmap. First, we'll talk about the miracle of what the Word is, What do we mean when we say the word? And then we'll talk about what the miracle of what the word does, which is it finds us, it forms us. His word saves us, and it shapes us. So first, the miracle of what the word is. What do we mean when we say the word of God? Well, in one sense, I'm talking about paper. And when I say paper, I mean the collection of the 66 books of the word of God, the scriptures, from Genesis through Revelation. The word of God. And this word is a miracle in many ways. One is that it's the only book that God says he's the author of. The only one. He's claiming to be the one who inspired, who's the author, primarily, of this book. He says so in 2 Timothy 3. He says to us, all scripture is God-breathed. He's claiming inspiration over the word of God, over these books. And then it gets into how it forms us and shapes us, through how it's profitable for teaching and reproof and correction. And then also in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, if you remember when we went through 1 Thessalonians, Paul will say one of the reasons he thanks God for that church is because they know that when they received the word of God, they received it as what it really is, not just the words of men, but as what it truly is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Again, that'll get into how it shapes and forms us. So this is a book that God claims to be the author of, that he inspires. But it's also a miracle in the sense that it's written down, it's authored by, at the same time, over 40 different people. Over 40 authors. From kings to prophets, to poets, to fishermen, to musicians, over 40 different authors. And not just that, but on 3 different continents, in 3 different languages, 2 primarily, with some Aramaic sprinkled in there, primarily Greek and Hebrew with some Aramaic. So you have over 40 authors in 3 different languages, on 3 different continents, put together over a span of about over 1,600 years, and yet there's one cohesive story about God coming to rescue this world and his people who, by the way, disobeyed his word. What other book is like that? Over 40 authors on 3 continents and 3 languages over 1,600 years, and yet one story that God is claiming he has inspired this word. So when we say, yes, the word of God, we're talking about the word. And yet I would encourage you to look into the reliability of it. God's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of you looking into it. Look into, there's so much that we could say to look into. Look into the archaeological evidence. Look into the prophecies, the promises that were made centuries, millennia before things happened and some still to come. Look at the fact that we have tens of thousands of manuscripts, copies of the word to give us confidence that we have what was originally written. There's so much of the miraculous nature of this word. Look at the countless testimonies, stories of people that have encountered and have been changed by the word of God that he has given to us. There's so many reasons to have confidence, yes, in the word. One of the things that gives me the most confidence is the fact that Jesus verified the truth of the Old Testament. He believed it was the word of God. He verifies the Old Testament, the Psalms, the writings, the prophets. He says, yes, check. And then he hand selects the people that will write the New Testament. He hand picks them. Apart from 2, Dr. Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts, and he interviewed eyewitnesses. And then you have whoever the author of Hebrews is, which we're not really sure who wrote that. But it marks all the criteria of an authentic New Testament book and in the canon. And so plenty of reason for confidence in that. Plenty of reasons to say, look at the miraculous nature of the word of God. And while I say that, I also know for sure that God asks of us faith. It's never been, yes, you can just look at all the evidence and say 100% sure. People are ridiculous for not believing the word of God. No, he calls us to believe, to trust him. There comes a point where we say, what do I believe? What am I living for? Where is my faith? Where is my trust? Faith, as we've talked about before, the biblical definition, I think, of faith is a trust, a confident trust in God's word, no matter the circumstances, no matter the consequences. And there comes a point where we say, what do we believe? What do you, remember Jesus said, who do you say that I am? What do we trust? It says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. He asks of us faith. What God is impressed by, we see with Jesus being amazed by people, was not their strength or their intellect or their anything. It's their faith. How great is your faith, he said. He calls us to believe. We're thankful for the word of God that he has given, that he has inspired, that he has preserved for us. But the reason that the word of God, that these 66 books are a miracle, is that it's not just words on a page. The word of God is leading us to the God of the word. And not just leading us to the God of the word, not just describing the God of the word, but actually revealing Jesus, the Son of God. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life, and it is they that testify about me. Pastor Ed said on the men's retreat, he gave this analogy of if you're given a ticket, plane ticket, it would be wise to know what's on that ticket. What does it say? What gates do you leave at? Like what time? You should know what the ticket says. But the point of the ticket is not just to know what the ticket says. The point of the ticket is to get you somewhere, right? And the point of the word of God is not just to know what it says. The point of the word is not to get you somewhere. It's to get you to someone. It brings us to Jesus, the God of the word. His word is not a dead portrait. It's a window into reality, into who God is, who we are. Hebrews 4:12 says it this way. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You see, there comes to a point where we have to say, you know what? The word of God is actually judging me more than I'm judging the word. It's seeing me more than I'm seeing it. It's changing me. It's bringing to my attention the things that need to change or grow in my own life. It's alive. It's active. And for now, that sword that pierces is a sword of mercy. It's a scalpel in the hands of a great physician who is lovingly leading us to Jesus. And it's a good idea for us to give ourselves fully to the word of God. Lord, change me. Lord, meet me. Show me who I am, who you are, what life is really about. Before that sword turns into a sword of wrath if we reject the precious gift of Christ. So yes, the miracle of what the word is, collection of books, but it's revealing Jesus. It's revealing God. Now let's talk about the miracle of what the word does. It finds and forms us. It saves and shapes us. So briefly, how does the word save us? What does that mean? I'll read to you Romans 10:17. Maybe you've heard this verse before. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Somehow, faith, this trust in God, this trust in the God of the word, comes through the word, through hearing the word, through encountering the word. And we read that it comes through hearing the word of Christ. How it draws us and it gives us faith in Christ. And we might say, and the world will say, that's foolishness. You're telling me that salvation, that our biggest problem of sin, they might not call it sin, but which leads to death, the remedy to that is hearing and believing a message? That's the answer that we all need, that we desperately need? That sounds like foolishness. In fact, that's what the word says. How we'll respond. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 and verse 21 will tell us it's folly. It's folly to the world, but it's the power of God. It's folly to the world, but it's the wisdom of God through His word. Everyone has a story. Everyone in the church truly that belongs to Jesus and so belongs to one another that are part of the bride of Christ, the family of God, all of us have a story about how God's word reached us, how His word saved us. Through hearing it read, through hearing it taught, through hearing it preached, through hearing it sung, through hearing it prayed, through hearing it through the lives of other people. Some of us here have the similar story that I do. That for me, it was hearing it multiple times growing up in a family that believes. Hearing my parents talk about the word, hearing going to church and hearing the preacher talk about the word and hearing the word through the songs, just over time, after hearing, eventually saying, I believe that I want a relationship with Jesus. And when I was eight years old, I made that decision. Paul says this in a way to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, which I did ask one of our younger volunteers, Pastor Dennis, if you could get the microphone to Sophia Santos, who is bravely going to read for us 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Come on up. Thanks. Right, this is good.
Second Timothy 3:15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Sophia. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Can you bring this back, Pastor Dennis? I can keep that. Thanks. Boom. Yeah. We are grateful that we have children that are able to grow up hearing the word of God over and over and over again. The scripture that's able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So for many of us, that's our story. That's how the word of God met us. And then more rarely, there are stories even of God supernaturally speaking his word to individuals. It's what happened to the Apostle Paul, and you might even hear a similar story in a little bit. Of how God still does that today. God's word saves us. It reaches us. His word is powerful to do what he sends it to do. He says in Isaiah that his word does not come back void, but accomplishes the purposes to which he sent it. And thank God, one of the purposes of his word is to smash the rock of hard, sinful hearts. Like Jeremiah says, your word is like a hammer that smashes through the rocks, that breaks our hard hearts, and gives life, gives new life in a relationship with Christ through his life, death, and resurrection. His word saves us. His word also forms us, or shapes us, and here's how we'll get after that. Jesus prayed in John 17, sanctify them. Sanctify just means make them like Christ, make them like himself. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Or in John 18, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you see, when his word reaches us, it's not a tag, you're it, I'm done with you. It forms us. It abides in us, and it changes us. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. As a branch, he'll say, is connected with a vine. As the branch is connected with a tree, the life comes from the tree. That's how the branch flourishes. And it's through being connected to the word of God, to the God of the word, that we're given life, that we are formed, that we grow. His people, the church, are transformed by his word. And I wish it was faster. I'll just say that. I wish it was quicker. But the way to see how is the word forming me is usually not to say, hey, how have I changed from last week? It's more like someone who knows you well can say, how have I changed from 10 years ago, from 5 years ago? How is the word changing? How am I growing? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says it this way, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. We're being shaped. We're being conformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the church of God is formed, is transformed, is conformed, not by the media, not by the latest book, the latest human philosophy, the latest fad, the latest opinion, but we are being formed, transformed by the word of God into the image of Christ. His word forms us. His word is what informs us of what's true and what's not, of where we actually come from, where we're actually going, what actually the point of life is, the difference between right and wrong. Paul will say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, I won't read, but I'll have the verses up there for you. Thanks, Adam. Telling him, continue to preach the word, because we have this tendency as human beings to want to create for ourselves what we want to believe. We need the word of God to form us, to give us the ability to distinguish what's right and what's wrong. To discern. Discernment is the practice of listening to God amongst the complexity of a sin nature and a fallen world. Let me say that again. Discernment is the practice of listening to God amongst the complexity of a sin nature and a fallen world. We need his word to tell us what's actually true, not just what I want to believe to be true. Because every person in the church is found in a culture or society in that area that's going to have different parts of their beliefs and their desires that are going to brush up against and bristle against the perfect word of God, because we're not perfect. And so there's going to be parts about the perfect word of God that we do not like, that we do not want to believe. We need his word to discern what's actually true, what's actually right, what's actually wrong, to follow him. God is using his word to form the people of God here and all around the world. And I would love for you to hear an example of someone who happens to live on the other side of the globe, who the word found him and formed and is forming him and is forming the church that he serves as pastor at in Southeast India, Amaravati, India. You've heard me mention multiple times, you can come on up, brother. Multiple times I've talked about Sri and his wife Ramya, and thank you for many of you that have been praying for them. I met Sri in 2014 at Liberty University Seminary, and was right away impressed by Sri's work ethic. He had too many jobs and was taking far too many classes because he didn't want to mess around. He wanted to learn and get the degree there and grow and then get back to his family in India, and was just immediately impressed by Sri's, how hard he works, and his prayer life just really inspired and encouraged me, and I'm thankful to say he became a friend of mine, and who would have thought that even 8 years later, we'd still be connected and now connected with our churches as well. And so Sri's going to share how God's word found and formed him and how it's doing that in the church in Amaravati. So thanks, Sri.
Thanks for the time. It is 1996, September sometime. Maybe October 1st week. I vaguely remember the months and dates. I'm about 17 that time. I know, I look more younger than I am, right? So I grew up in a Hindu family. My mom came to Christ, she believed, in 1986. But for me, I'm an atheist by nature, more skeptic. I have a lot of questions. So for me, believing there is something supernatural is supernatural. So one day it's 5 o'clock in the morning. At that time it is a public transportation to Low in my city. We have less cars, so usually we call bicycle or the bike you call it. So I'm going to a math tuition early in the morning, 5 o'clock. That's the only one thing I liked it. But all of a sudden, a truck. So there is a rule in the city. Trucks cannot, they are not allowed from morning 6 o'clock to 10 p.m. in the night. So if they have to come into the city, they have to come after 10 o'clock and before 6 o'clock. So this guy wants to come into the city and just the dump the whatever the thing he has, and just he wants to get out of the city, or else he has to pay the hefty fines. So he's rushing, and all of a sudden he came out of nowhere, just turned and hit my bike. So I can't see my bike anywhere. It's like, but all this thing happened in a fraction of seconds, not in a slow manner that I'm explaining. So I'm in the middle of the truck. I'm just looking at the tire, maybe a second. So my death is almost near, a second, maybe 2 seconds or something. It is a moving truck. If I may, sorry.
Am I the truck?
No.
Okay.
He's the Sri now.
Oh, I'm Sri now.
Somebody from behind grabbed my neck and pulled me out of the truck. I can feel it till today. So my heart was racing. Definitely it is not slow. There is a concrete bench next to the street. I was just sitting on it. Even now I look back and try to hear the word again. It's like you can see my voice and the body is shaking. So somebody is talking to me. Three times I heard this voice. Your life is mine. Okay, I was just looking around. There's no one around. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. There's only one guy just sleeping somewhere and far up. It's not possible. Somebody from human being. That grip is so tight, a person can pull a person out of the truck, a moving truck. That's impossible. So again, I was just looking around and heard the second time, your life is mine. I was like, who the hell is? Like, I was just trying. Because I believe in no God. And third time, I heard the same voice again. Your life is mine. Then there's something here. Then I started my journey. I just gave a break to my studies. I started to visiting different Hindu gurus, Buddhism, Jainism, you just name it. I traveled around 1 year to know, to find this, who is this voice? My ego is not saying, I'm not ready to accept that the God can speak or there is some supernatural being is out there. My ego is not allowing me to believe it. In 1998, I was just watching a cricket match on a television, and the Bible is sitting right above the TV set. You know, that big TV boxes. And the millionaire kids knows it. 80s and 90s are crazy ones. So because of the fan, the pages are rotating. That's where I just took the Bible. When I opened the Bible, it is a Jeremiah 1:5. It's saying like, I know you. 1:5 says, I know you when you were in the womb of your mother. It's like, what? How, God, is this you or something? So I went to church. I was attending church now and then to know what it is, just like other temples and the gurus, other things. Then I came to know that this God can speak. And that's where my run stopped. And just started learning it. Is God can really audible? Then I went to Bible college. I got the job in Indian Air Force in a non-technical department. And the Bible college application came at the same time. I said, okay, I'll go here. And since I have the 4 months, I went for one semester. Now you can see I'm stuck with this God forever. So when I look back, even now and then when I'm stuck, When I don't know, when I'm standing in a crossroads, I just close my eyes and speak to the Lord. Lord, you just spoke to me in an audible voice. Why didn't you speak to me again? You know, that voice is so heavy. I know that human can listen in a decibels of between 20 and 80. It is something beyond that one. Because I'm the only person hearing the God's voice. No one is. And whenever I want to hear it again, I can hear it again. You know, that voice is that three times, your life is mine. After I look back after 27 years, that is still guiding me today. There is a love in it. As Pastor Tori is sharing, there is transformation in it. I can feel the warmth of his love, the depth of his voice. Still, when I look back, when I hear it again and again in my brain, and I say, Lord, you are a wonderful God. I would say one thing, definitely. God's voice is a powerful one. It never leaves you. Once he speaks to us, it always reminds us. It always stays us. Stay with us. It's like it is a kind of constant reminder. You might heard about the story of my wife. Like she's gone sick from last 2 years. And again, this guiding principle, guiding voice is so powerful, just empowering me and my wife at the same time. And at the same time, it is a transformation. It transformed me. It gave me a salvation to stick with this God and just, I hate Christianity. As a boy, I hated this because my wife, my mom always gone. Like her, she's a singer. She used to sing for the Lord and visiting churches and standing on the streets and singing. I just hate it. But this God loved me so much. I have this. Now, whenever I go back and listen to this voice, I can feel his love. And that love, I know, draw towards to him in a transformative force. And still today, it stuck with my heart, with my soul. And it is also a clear guiding principle. And I would also encourage you, just hear his word. You know, the word, it says Shama in Hebrew. You know what that means? Shama means an active listening. That's a present continuous form. You know what is it, what that means? Active listening is not just listening, but showing the obedience. You might hear the voice of the Lord just like me, in many forms, just like Pastor Tori said. But it is the Shema that counts more. And thank you for this time.
Thanks, Amen. Thank you for sharing, brother. I'm going to close with one thought. And then pray over us. When I read these verses for this message today about how the word forms us, and again, praise God, how the word finds us and forms us, not just here, but all over the world. It's what God's word does. It's powerful, it's creative, it's effective. And, you know, these verses about cherishing God's word, there's a bunch of other ones that talk about it, like in the Psalms, your word is sweeter than honey to me, David says. And I will say the first reaction I had to that was, God, I don't always feel that. I don't always treasure your word. I don't always see it for the miracle that it is. And I don't always, you know, see it like buried treasure worth giving everything for. And it just made me realize, again, we can't do this on our own. We're the church. We need each other to spur one another on to, as it says in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so that what? So that we share it, that we teach each other, that we sing it, that it's contagious to want to be in the word together. I can't do it on my own. I need brothers and sisters like Sri encouraging me and the church and all of you here to be in it together. And so let's be in the word. There's a quote from John Lennox. He's an Irish mathematician and lay theologian, and he's really brilliant. And he was in an interview recently talking about finishing well. And one of the things he said was, be in the word of God. Take serious time to be in the word until you see the face of Jesus. And I thought, man, that's what I want for our church, to take the word seriously, to be in the word and to share it with one another. And I can't do that on my own. I need you for that. We need each other for that, to spur one another on. And so, we're formed by the word of God. We're going to have prayer available in the corner over here. If you'd like to pray, please don't hesitate to do that. And I'm going to pray for us now. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's more than words on a page, but it's revealing the God of the word. It's revealing Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that your word is alive, that it's active when we feel it and when we don't. So Father, help us, as Sri said, to be a church that doesn't just hear with our ears, but we are listening actively to do what you've said. Let us be, as Jesus says, the wise builders that hears and does what you say, so that when the winds and the waves and the storm comes, Lord, we stand strong because we are built on the rock of you, of your word. Lord, we can't do it. I can't do it on my own. I need this family that you've put together to stir me, to encourage me, to speak your word in ways that I wouldn't have thought of, I wouldn't have thought of myself. Lord, give us a thirst. Lord, for some of us, we had such a thirst for your word, maybe when we first came to know you, where we couldn't put the book down. But Lord, we need the steady diet of the meat of your word. Help us to long for it. Continue to change us, to transform us into the image of Christ through your word. Lord, do what we cannot do. Find us and form us through the word of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.